Dear congregation, young people and children, what do you think the best place is to live? Perhaps you think where you live now is the best place, and that is certainly good, a good answer. Or maybe some of you have visited far-off places like California or Colorado or Hawaii, Fiji, all these places that people tell us are good places to live. Well, again, by itself, there's nothing wrong with these things, but I wonder tonight if you would ever think that the best place to live is to live at the feet of the Lord Jesus. No matter where on earth you would live, to live at his feet is the best place. As we hope to see from the words of our text passage, which we read already, especially verses 36 through 50 of Luke 7. And let me just read at this time, 37 and 38. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Thus far, the words of our text. Our theme with God's help is life at the feet of Jesus. We'll see, first of all, no love for Jesus, and that's in the person of Simon. We'll look at him first. No love for Jesus. Then secondly, much love for Jesus. We'll look at the woman. And thirdly and lastly, the best love from Jesus. Life at the feet of Jesus. No love for Jesus, much love for Jesus, the best love from Jesus. Well, congregation, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. In other words, a Pharisee whose name was Simon invited the Lord Jesus for a meal, for dinner. And that is remarkable because most of the Pharisees would have shunned the Lord Jesus outright, as he was the friend of sinners, as they said. And they wouldn't so much as welcome him into their homes. Now, it could be that Simon was maybe not as rigid or particular as many of the Pharisees who were already making plans for how they could kill the Lord Jesus. Back then, as still today, Middle Easterners were known for their hospitality. Even a complete stranger, they would invite you. If you passed through, they would invite you into their home. You would be greeted warmly. The host might stoop and wash your feet, anoint you with oil, and give a kiss on your forehead. That was customary as a basic rule for hospitality. But in this particular case, Simon, though he would have Jesus over to his house, he does none of these things. It seems that he stops at the nicety, if you will, of inviting the Lord Jesus, but for the rest, he keeps a very safe and cold distance. He even treats the Lord Jesus with an obvious disdain, not affording him even the common courtesy that you would complete strangers and certainly guests. It's almost as if Simon here makes a statement. He does, in fact. You can come into my house, I'll watch you, I'll survey you, I'll take in who you are, what this Jesus is all about, but don't expect from me any honor. Don't expect friendship. Don't expect even the niceties. The mood in this house would have certainly on this occasion been very cold and distant. And this would have been all the more noticeable because the Lord Jesus, from his side, wherever he went, was bringing life and joy to many. In this chapter alone, chapter 7 of Luke, if you looked at it, it is remarkable. He heals the servant of the Roman centurion who was at the point of death. He raised the son of the widow of Nain. Verse 22 tells us that the blind were made to see, the deaf were made to hear, the dead were being brought to life. And there was an atmosphere of excitement and joy. Someone was in their midst who was turning back the misery that everywhere was present and bringing life and liberty and joy into people's lives. And the chapter makes clear that the publicans and the sinners especially take note of the Lord Jesus and what he is doing, and they believed in him to such an extent that the Lord Jesus himself says in verse 35, wisdom, that is Jesus, he's wisdom personified, is justified of all her children. Remarkable children this wisdom has. Publicans, sinners, they all rise up and call Jesus blessed. And they follow the Lord Jesus. They devote themselves to the Lord Jesus. They make his righteousness known wherever they go. Wisdom is justified of all her children. But Simon will not justify the Lord Jesus. In fact, he will judge the Lord Jesus, keeping him at a safe distance, at arm's length, looking, gazing, judging everything he says, everything he does. And this congregation is important to take into view, because contrary to what many people think, the church is not made up of all believers in the Lord Jesus, true believers in the Lord Jesus. There are many in churches who have Jesus, as it were, in their house, quote unquote, but at a safe distance, at arm's length, watching, looking, but not too close. In fact, they find it awkward when people start showing love, affection, connection with the Lord Jesus. No, they'll have their names on the roll of a church. They'll even come to the house of the Lord like this. But all the while, they don't give their heart, their life, their affections. A cold distance is how they want it to be. And congregation, this is the first point of application from out of our text. How many Simons are here in this place? Yes, you're in church. Yes, you have a Bible in your home. Yes, you say prayers in front of your children, and perhaps you do so even for yourself as well. But really, the safety of distance is what is most comfortable for you. When anyone comes, and an elder comes for house visitation, or a true Christian comes and seeks to speak of the Lord in a way that comes too close, you feel uncomfortable, and you push it away. And you have all kinds of ways of saying that. We even have pious ways of saying that. You know, Simon was a pious person. There's many things here. I mean, pious in the external way. People would have thought of him as pious. He was a Pharisee, and he had his slogans. He had his religion, and that worked well for him. But Christ was at a distance. Oh, my dear friends, this is not the way to live. This is not the way to die. In fact, this is death. In fact, it's even in a certain sense worse than death, because it's a rejection of the one who is life himself. And it makes us wonder, doesn't it? Why ever would the Lord Jesus have taken this invitation of Simon? Why ever would he have come into Simon's home? Why would he have endured, having come to Simon's home, that he would be treated like this? That he would be held at such a distance? That there he would be with unwashed feet? Not even the common niceties of the treatment of strangers would be afforded to him, and he bears with it. He endures it. He doesn't draw attention to it even. He sits there in the house of this Pharisee. Oh, people of the Lord, when we are brought to see who we are and what we are by nature and how we treat the Lord by nature, how humbling it is to think of the fact that the Lord has borne with us so long. How he's had to put up with us with this arm's length distance, this coolness, this coldness. We're convicted of it. We're convicted that in us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And yet when we come back to this question, why would the Lord have endured this? Oh, the Lord endures so much. He endures so much from his fallen image bearers. He endures so much from religious hypocrites, from religious people who are nominal. They use Christ's name, but there's no relationship, no true communion with the Lord. Here we see the heart of God. How in the gospel, he strives with sinners. He bears with sinners. He's long-suffering and patient with sinners. People like you, people like me. Think even when our first forefather, Adam, sinned and ate of the tree of which the Lord said you should not eat from it. How the Lord had come, his voice had come, walking in the garden. Where art thou? Where are you seeking? What a picture of the merciful God who will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, who in the gospel is patient, forbearing. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world, we saw it this morning in a measure, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He bore with that, all to perform his Father's will, all to pay the ultimate price, all to draw people out of darkness into his marvelous light, all in order that his self